Turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. We're going to start there. Let me quickly lay a foundation scripture-wise, and then I'll talk about these next Wednesdays and what to expect. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, and keep them in the midst of your heart. Now, this is a Solomon writing this. This is wisdom that God had given him, you know, particularly concerning the Word of God, concerning the wisdom of God and the importance of the Word of God. And it says in verse 22, it says, "For they are life to those who find them." The Word of God is life to those who find them. And look at this, health to all their flesh. Can we read that that verse together? Ready? Read. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. So the Word of God, the words of God, when kept in your heart, will actually bring life to your flesh, will actually bring health to your physical. And so your physical body, what I want to begin tonight is let us just start looking into the Word of God concerning healing, concerning health, concerning healing. And when we think about healing now, obviously, it has to do with sickness and that sort of thing. What does the Bible have to say about that? Does God still heal today? Will He still today? And will He still heal all today? Or does He allow some people to be sick for a divine purpose of His own? Or does He wait for some purpose of His own? You know, let's get some real answers to those questions. Is it something that we can pray for, that we can believe for? But even as we talk about this, consider that we're going to expand this thought about healing to not just our physical bodies. And that's where a lot of times we narrowly focus. But I want you to notice from the scripture, number one, is that healing begins in your heart. Healing begins in your heart. And so the gifts of healing are going to be present in every single one of these meetings. And if you will have a heart to listen and to open, you know, to the things of God, then really what God would prefer you do is to be healed from the inside out. That healing would start in your heart so that there's not this tug of war that's going on in the areas of trust and in the areas of faith. And so that's why he's saying here that if you would keep the word in the midst of your heart, the reason is because when they're there, it says they're life to those who find them, their health to all their flesh. And then in verse 23, notice that he said, keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So a fractured, broken heart will produce a broken body. It will produce sickness. The Bible says in Hebrews, it says that if there's a root of bitterness that has, you know, taken hold on the inside of you. So bitterness is a matter of the heart, isn't it? It said it will spring up, it'll grow up, and it will then defile the rest of you. And that word defile simply means it's going to have an undesired outcome in your life. It's going to allow evil to come in, or it's going to allow sin and sickness, and that it's going to have some kind of a negative effect on your life. Okay, and so if you'll commit to getting here on Wednesday nights, you know, maybe there are some of you here tonight that you have prayed for healing, you have believed God for healing. There are some things that you would love to see happen in your body, you know, and say, God, where is it? Why hasn't it happened yet? And so what we're going to do is we are going to together, as a church family, as a church body, we are going to put the word in. We are going to so embrace it with our heart that what happens is healing just begins. We're going to see outbreaks of healing in this church body and in our lives. Okay? Now, we'll also have time of ministry. We'll also have time of prayer. That's why I said the gifts of healing are going to be present. We're going to see people set free. We're going to see instantaneous miracles. We're going to see all kinds of stuff that has happened. And it's all going to start and the seed of it tonight. Amen. And this is going to be exciting. Praise God. You know, even in nature, you know, there's natural laws. You may have learned in school, natural laws of thermodynamics. The second law simply says this: anything, any system, anything that's left to itself will descend into chaos or disorder. Okay. And which is why evolution, is an impossibility, because even the natural law will say that it says order cannot come out of chaos. It doesn't happen that way. Rather, anything that's even an ordered system is going to descend into chaos and disorder when left to itself. In other words, this world left to itself is on decline. This world left to itself, there's going to be some form of death come in, some form of sickness come in. Your bodies, when left to themselves, when you're trying to just live life by yourself, you know, it's on the decline by itself. You know, Paul says it this way: this outward man perisheth, you know, is being destroyed, is getting older. But he said our inward man is being renewed day by day. Okay. So what's the solution? Do we just have to now live life, you know, on this steady decline? And so that, after we turn 50, after we turn 60, after we turn, you know, whatever age, then we have to deal with the aches and the pains and all of that kind of stuff, you know, and just live life like everybody else. Or does God have something better for us? Somebody says better, right? God has something better for us. So, how does that happen? So we're going to set a foundation tonight about the will of God concerning your life. So when I talk about healing, I said we're going to broaden the kind of the definition. We want to deal with your heart, but God wants to heal you emotionally. God wants to heal you physically. God wants to heal you mentally. And right now there is an epidemic of mental illness that is, I mean, it's spreading all over our nation. The suicide rate higher than ever before. You know, we've got a better technology, better medicine, better hospitals, better doctors, and yet we're still as sick or more sick than we've ever been in our lives. I say we, I'm not talking about personally, I'm talking about as a society, as a nation, as a world. And so with all of that, you know, and a lot of the medications, for instance, don't you just love those commercials? You know, take this for your heartburn. We're going to treat one symptom, but now the side effects, it's going to be dizziness, sickness, unable to sleep, and possibly even death. But if those things don't happen, we're going to fix your heartburn. I think I'd rather deal with the heartburn than take the risk of the side effects, right? And so sometimes even medication and even what doctors, I mean, if you're putting your trust in the hospitals to fix everything, man, there is so many, they misdiagnose, they put the wrong, like you cannot trust everything that happens. Just because they have a white coat on don't mean they know what they're doing. Amen. As a matter of fact, doctors are still practicing, right? Yeah. So I would rather put my faith and my trust in Jesus, in the Word of God. I'd like to find out what He has to say so that I can experience His life. So how does it happen? Okay, so as we get into this, as we start talking about all of these different areas over the next couple of months or whatever it is, I mean, I want to dig into this thing deep. I want you to be so convinced about God's will to heal you, and I want your faith to so rise that you're going to, that you can't help but just receiving healing for yourself and walking in it, but then you're going to also be those that are giving it to others. Okay? All right. So Jesus said this, because we talk about the word here, but Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. See, and what he was saying is that the spirit or the flesh, let me go to a verse here and let me just read this. as we lay this foundation, he said that the flesh doesn't profit anything. So let me look that up. In John chapter 6, and let's look at verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh doesn't profit anything. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So remember Proverbs chapter 4, he said that as you attend to the word, keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? For they are life to those that find them. So can we say that true life, that if we want to stem the tide of the decline of this moving from order to disorder, from growing older in the sense of that I've got to now deal with sickness and pain and all of those kinds of things. Now, you're going to grow older. All of those things are going to happen, right? But not the sickness and the pain. Moses, when he died, somebody says, well, then how are you going to die if you never deal with sickness? Moses was 120 years old, and the Bible says that his eyes did not grow dim and his strength did not weaken, did not decline. Okay? He wasn't old, frail, and weak. He was just as strong, just as... But this is a man that walked with God. See, the Bible says that the children of Israel, that he led, the children of Israel, it says they knew the acts of God. They saw God. Listen to this word. They saw God. They saw him. They saw the miracles. They woke up every morning as there was manna on the ground. And so they were able to partake from his provision. And they saw what he could do. The Bible says the children of Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses knew his ways. See, it's one thing to know about God and to say, oh man, there was amazing miracles in the meeting and God did this and God did that. But do you know God for yourself? Are you beginning to experience him for yourself? You know, the Lord has taken me personally through a study. Part of that study is the life of Solomon. The life of Solomon, the one who wrote the book of Proverbs. Solomon was King David's son that God set up to be the next king over Israel. And so as David turned the kingdom over right before he died to Solomon, these were some of the words that he said, some of the beginning words. He said, Solomon, have courage. I actually said it this way, be strong. Prove yourself a man. You, in other words, you got to prove. Solomon was in his mid-20s when he became king. How would you like that, you know, to find out that a millennial is going to be your next president? I don't mean that against millennials, all right, guys? I'm saying that, you know, somebody so young didn't have the skill set to be king. And so what David had to do was say, look, be a man. You know, you don't get to grow up. I mean, you're going to grow up real fast, but you need to be a man. But then he said this. He told him what being a man looked like. He said, follow after God. And then he said it this way. Know the God of your father. Get that. Know the God of your father. In other words, Solomon had seen the amazing the victories that David had. He had heard about his exploits, had heard about Goliath, had heard about how God made him king, heard about how God had delivered him, had seen these things work in David's life, but just because he saw it and he grew up with it didn't mean that he knew God for himself. Just because your parents know God and experience God doesn't mean that you do. Just because my dad was a pastor and because we saw miracles and amazing things growing up in my family, and I'll tell you some of that testimonies. I mean, even when it comes to healing, there was a time my dad wore glasses that were really, really thick, had bad eyesight, was very nearsighted. And so in the 70s, you know, he just decided, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust God for healing. And so he did. He prayed. He believed God. And just because he believed so strongly, and what I'm about to tell you, don't go out and do unless you have a revelation from God on it, okay? But what he did is he said, I believe that God has healed me. And he took his glasses off and just began to live life as if he didn't have to wear glasses anymore. And 3 days later, he was driving down the road. I don't know how he got from where he was going, you know, but and he was, I think, at an intersection. And he said it was just like somebody took a pair of binoculars and just focused them and everything came into perfect view. And so having worn glasses his whole life, God healed him in a moment. And he's never had to wear glasses for that prescription again. Praise God. I grew up in that environment. But just because I grew up in that environment and saw these things happen doesn't mean that I knew God for myself. And so the one of the first things that we've got to learn is don't just know about God. Don't just know his acts, but let's learn his ways. Okay? And that's where we're going on this. And so here he's saying that the Spirit, it's the Spirit that gives life. And the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. As we go into these things, what I'm just doing is I'm wanting to begin to lay a foundation so that you can see how that it's God's will for you. So let's go over to Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Because you've got to, first of all, answer the question about, is it God's will to heal? Number one. Number two, is it God's will to heal every time? Because if it's not, then how do I know if I'm one of the ones that's not supposed to be healed? Or how do I know that I'm one of the ones that can't be healed? Because the truth of the matter is that every promise of God to be experienced must be received by faith. Faith and trust is what's going to cause us to experience the promise of God. And I'm going to prove that to you as it concerns healing here in just a moment as we go through this tonight. But the Bible says that we have access into his grace through faith. You can't become a Christian until you believe. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that God raised him from the dead. And as you believe on him, so then all of a sudden you'll experience salvation. And so faith is what takes you. It's the vehicle that takes you into the experience of what God has freely made available. I want to say that again. Faith is the vehicle that will take you into the experience of what God has freely made available. That's a great Facebook quote right there if somebody wants to do it. Okay. Let me say it again because I love it. I just made it up just right now. Faith is a vehicle that takes you into the experience of everything that God has freely provided for you. Okay? And so what's going to happen is your faith's going to come alive. Your trust level's going to come alive. You're going to begin to believe God about some things. Because if you have doubt, if you don't know the answers to these questions, how can you trust? How can you believe? How can you have faith for healing? Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Let's go ahead and bring that up. So God said this to the children of Israel, and you have to understand that to give you a little bit of history, where are we in the Bible here, is that God had revealed himself to Abraham 400 years before this time. God had revealed himself to Abraham's son Isaac and to Jacob. And then many, many years later, a few hundred years later, when Israel was under slavery to Egypt, then God reveals himself to his people. So God had revealed himself to men, but now God's revealing himself to a nation, okay, to a family here. And so as he is defining this law for them, he said this: if you will diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, do that which is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now, the Hebrew here would be, I am Jehovah, or I am Yahweh, Jehovah Rapha, which is basically his title. I'm the Lord that heals. And throughout the Old Testament, God reveals himself in different ways using different names. That's part of his character. That's part of his nature. Now, one of the questions right away is, so why would God put diseases on people? And what you have to understand, and we'll get into this later, is that this was under a period of the law. Okay? We don't live under this. We don't live under this covenant anymore. We live under a covenant of grace. Okay? And so we're going to see where this part doesn't even apply. God doesn't judge us. This is all about judgment. This is all about when people broke the law, there was judgment that then opened the door to sickness, where God's hands were tied and was allowed sickness to come in and those kinds of things. And we may talk about those things in another week, but under grace and under the covenant of grace, Jesus took all of our judgment. When he hung on the cross, he said, I'm the one that will take their guilt. I will take their judgment. I will take their penalty for their sin and for their mistakes. And for every commandment or law that you broke, Jesus took that penalty. Come on, think about that for a second. If there was under the law, if part of the judgment or part of the penalty was for sickness to possibly come, you know what? Let's just take a look at it. I'm getting so excited about this. I mean, you know what? Let's just deal with this right now. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. So I wanted you to see on that last scripture, God calls himself, I am the Lord that heals you. He's revealing to himself as the Lord, the healer. Now look at, again, this was under the law in Deuteronomy chapter 28. He starts off and he says this in verse 1. Now, if it comes to pass, if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. But I want you to see here that everything that we've read so far is that as long as they did right, then God would do these things and bless them. In other words, in their performance determined the level of God's blessing. Can you see that? Okay. And so it was their move first, God's move second. All right. Look at this. And so all these blessings, he said, shall come on you, overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord. You obey, you get blessed. And this is oftentimes gets confused in church because we adopt the same attitude that my performance determines God's blessing in my life. Okay? But you got to understand, your Bible is made up of two different covenants. The Old Testament, Old Covenant, New Covenant. Okay? Which one do we live under? Anybody? New Covenant. Which means everything in the requirements of the Old Covenant no longer apply to us. Now, we're going to get into that. So I just don't want you to be confused as we lay this. We're going to take this line upon line, precept upon precept. We're going to build this foundation. I want you so convinced about God's will to heal and how to receive healing in your life that you'll never question it again. Okay? Look at this. He goes, all these blessings will come on you, overtake you. He says, blessed you'll be in the city, blessed shall be you'll be in the country, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your kind. In other words, blessed, 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 the blessed. Verse 7, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. Man, this is awesome. The Lord, verse 8, will command a blessing on you and your storehouses and in all that you set your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord God is giving you. The Lord will establish you a holy people. And he goes on, and blessing, verse 12, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands, and you shall lend to many nations. You shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will be, I mean, it's just blessing after blessing after blessing, and that's amazing. And we go through all the way through verse 14, and it's fantastic stuff. But then we go to verse 15, and there's more curses than there are blessings. Because now we got another almost 60 verses to go to get to the end of this chapter. Now, I'm not going to read all of it, but I want to highlight a few things. Look at verse 15. But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come on you and overtake you. Cursed you'll be in the city. Cursed you'll be in the country. Cursed will be your basket and your kneading bowl. Have you ever been in a situation where it's like, every time you get extra money, it just seems to find a way and just goes. It just leaks out. Something breaks. Something happens. You feel like that you're cursed. You can't get ahead. Okay? This is, you know, there's ways God came so that we wouldn't have to do that, but we'll talk about that later. But this is kind of what that is describing. There'll be curses, confusion, all kinds of things. In verse 21, the Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you're going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. I mean, this is bad stuff. This is judgment for not keeping the word of God. It's important that you see this. This is judgment. This is judgment for sin. This is judgment that came on the children of Israel when they could not keep the law. Okay? It goes on. It goes on. The Lord will strike you, verse 27, with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, with the itch from which you cannot be healed. Again, is God physically striking them? No. But what's happening is he's able to withdraw his hand of protection, just like what happened in the last plague. There was the destroyer that came through the land, and so when it saw the blood, in other words, God wouldn't permit that destroyer to go into the house. Okay? And so all of these things are out there, the boils, the tumors, the scab, the itch, all of those kinds of things, they're out there, but by keeping the word of God, you were under this umbrella of protection where it could never come on you. Okay? And so in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life. You know, I've given you a way that you don't have to live like everybody else. So here's the judgment, madness, blindness, confusion of heart, you know, and it goes on, family problems, all kinds of things. I mean, I'm just reading through it and I'm thinking, I do not want to read all of this. And so he even talks about when it comes to sickness. Let's go on down here towards the end of the chapter. He even talks about childbirth, the problems there, all of those things. And he even talks about the Lord in verse 59 will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, serious and prolonged sicknesses. You know, he talks about the diseases of Egypt will cling to you. And then in verse 61, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. In other words, there's judgment. So if you're looking for a sickness, or if you're saying, well, you know, they haven't even diagnosed some of these diseases didn't even exist back then. He made sure he covered that too. All of them. Anything not even written. He said, this is going to be the judgment. This is going to be the judgment. Now, this sounds like a downer moment. It's like, this is bad stuff. I need to make sure I do everything right. Here's the problem. No person can do everything right. That's what the law came for, to show that man could not keep the law. So what do we do about this? Well, let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and let's look at how God set up a system by which we could be delivered from sickness, that we could be delivered from sin's effect. And I'll talk about that here in just a second, what I mean by that. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, this is talking about Jesus. It says, who himself bore our sins. Somebody say, my sins. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes you were healed. Now, I'm giving you a I'm setting something up that I want you to see very clearly. According to Deuteronomy 28, the curse of the law, sickness comes as a result of sin. You understand that? Sickness comes as a result of sin. Sin is the root, and when sin is the root, it's going to create death at some point. Sin, when it is left alone. Listen, if it wasn't for the fact that God blessed you with an immune system, the common cold would kill you. That God even put into your human flesh something that would fight against sickness, because it was never his will for his creation to have to experience it. Okay? But when left unchecked, sickness will destroy a person's life. That's what sin does. Okay? So sin is the root. Sickness is just an expression or just a fruit that comes from it. Because sickness did not exist until sin came into the world. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, through one man's offense, sin entered into the world, and then death came as a result of sin. Okay? That's ultimately where the source came from. So, my question to you is this. If you're here tonight and you're dealing with sickness, what's more important, getting healed now and God touching your life and the Spirit of God coming into your flesh, divinity himself, God himself, the Spirit coming in? Because apart from God, the eternal God, apart from the spirit realm coming in, your body is going to grow old and decay and will get weaker and weaker. Okay? That's just natural. But when supernatural comes in, when the Spirit of God comes in, the life of God, it has the ability to reverse that. It has the ability to heal. It has the ability to restore. It has the ability to renew. It has that. That's why he says our outward man could be perishing, but our inward man's being renewed day by day. But what's more important, having a one-time touch that you get healed, but then next week or next month the sickness comes back? Or, so instead of treating the symptom, would it be better to treat the root or the cause of it so that it never comes back? Come on. So Jesus didn't just come just to heal people who were sick. This says in his own body, he bore our what? Sins. He took the cause, the root of sickness, which was sin. Remember, even the root of the curse of the law would come as a result of breaking the law, which is sin. And so what Jesus did is he exchanged places with us and he said, you know what? I will take Cedric's sin. I will take his guilt. I will take Dennis's sin. I will take his guilt. I will replace it with my innocence. So I will take the penalty for that. So not only did he take the sin, but now he also, as a result, that provides the way for healing to come. So his own body took my sin, and so that we being dead to sin would live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Turn with me over to Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. So I just read to you the curse, or part of the curse. Well, look at what verse 13 here says. Christ has redeemed me from what? The curse of the law. I'm part of Christ. And so I have been, and what does that word redeem mean? It means to be purchased. Okay? So whereas sin, Satan, whereas the curse would try to say, oh, no, you don't know what Cedric did last week. You know, he did this, he did that, so I have a right into his life. Mm-mm. Christ says, I've already purchased him from your power, from your ownership. I now own him. And so you don't have a right into his life. Christ has purchased me, has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Why? He was made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And so he became that curse. And for this reason, that the blessing of Abraham might... Jesus, thank you. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, might come on the nations... might come on the nations in Christ Jesus, that we might, and this is huge, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Listen, the Spirit through faith. What's so important about you receiving the promise of the Spirit? Well, the Spirit is what gives life. So, if I have the life giver on the inside of me, then he is in position to just begin to give life to every area of my body. Amen. See, yes. It's not just so that we can have a Holy Ghost, good time, flowing the gifts of the Spirit and things like that. It's for me to walk in a way that I'm receiving life from him on a daily basis. Amen. Let me show this to you. Go to Romans chapter 8. Then a few more scriptures and then we'll... as we start setting this thing up. Man, I love this. In verse 11, Romans 8, 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead... Now you have to picture this for a moment. Okay? Don't just read Scripture. This is why we're going to do this. Don't just read Scripture because you have to read through it and so, you know, you don't get the full impact. No, I love to stop and I love to envision, picture what's being said here. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead. So let's think about that for a second. Jesus was a dead, lifeless body in the grave that had been beaten, mutilated, stripes on his back, whole deal, a spear had gone in his side, pierced his heart, all of those things that had taken place, this dead, lifeless body. And so the Spirit of God went in on that third day into that dead, lifeless body and absolutely transformed it, absolutely healed it, absolutely gave it new life, and raised him up from the dead. Whew. That's awesome. That's powerful. Now look at this scripture. If that Spirit dwells in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead, or he who raised Christ from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies, to your fleshly bodies, through his Spirit who dwells in you. You have the life giver on the inside of you. You have the one that will heal every, that will begin to minister to every single cell, every single organ, every single every single thing that you have, everything that he's created, man, he knows how to heal it. He knows how to take care of it. And he's not withholding any good thing from you. You know, just a couple of quick stories and testimonies. And look, as I'm sharing these things with you, let your faith arise. Okay, what God has done for me and what God has done for others, he will also do for you. Don't just listen to the story. Know that God doesn't have favorites. We're all his favorite. And that God doesn't discriminate. That God says, I want this for everyone. Okay? And so as I tell you this, there's many times that I've experienced healing in my own life, but one of the most profound times was my gallbladder, and I've told you this story, but I want to tell it again, just as a foundation. This was about 9 or 10 years ago that I started having real gallbladder issues, and yeah, after I ate, 2 hours later, it would just be the pain would not go away. And it wasn't a sharp pain. It was just this dull, just wouldn't leave. And it would just kind of grow and get stronger and stronger. And I knew that it was probably my gallbladder, but I didn't want to go get it checked out. You know, I just like, okay, I'm just going to pray about it. And God, you know, Lord, just heal me. And I'm just going to trust you in it and that sort of thing. And it got worse and it got worse. And so what would happen very frequently is about 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd wake up just, oh, you know, and this is before Jennifer got sanctified, and had a revelation of grace. And so, you know, and she would be like, you need to go get that checked out. And I'm like, no, it's going to be fine. She goes, listen, you need to go get it checked out because you're waking me up at night. Like it wasn't even like there wasn't even any sympathy there. It wasn't like, oh, honey, you know, let's go get this worked on for you. No, it was because she wanted to sleep. That's all it was. And I'm like, no, we're not going to do it. And this went on for some months. And so finally she said, listen, I can't sleep because of your moaning and your groaning. And so if you do it again, then I'm taking you to the emergency room. And I'm like, you know, okay, whatever, you know, thinking it'd be fine. Well, that night was the worst attack yet. I mean, just, I don't know what it was that I ate, but boy, it did not agree with me. And I was in so much pain that about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, Jennifer, as I'm moaning and groaning, she goes, all right, get up, get dressed. I'm like, what, why? She said, I'm taking you to the emergency room. I said, no. I said, get up, get dressed, and I'm not taking no for an answer. Okay, so we went down to St. Vincent's East here, and went in and told them what was going on, and so anyway, they hooked me up to an IV, and they gave me some of the most magical stuff I've ever experienced in my life. I mean, whenever they hit me with that juice, whatever it was, like that pain left just like that. I'm like, can I take some of that home with me? And they said no, but. They did a scan. They did all that kind of stuff. They came back and they said, your gallbladder needs to come out. And they said it's, I think it was gallstones. And they said it's diseased and it, you know, it needs to come out and we can go ahead and start prepping you. I said, nope, we're not going to do that. And I said, appreciate it. I appreciate everything that you've done. But I said, you know, I'm just not going to do that today. And so checked myself out of the hospital. And then all of a sudden, I got really serious about trusting God for my healing. Because what happened in me internally is up to that point, I had just been putting up with it. You know, the things that you just put up with and the things that you'll just kind of allow to hang around, you know, you'll continue to experience. And so... what I did is I got very serious inside. This was a very serious thing. I did not want to have my gallbladder taken out. I was just like of this attitude. God put it in there for a reason, and so I don't want to have to live without it. And so I just said, Lord, you promised me. You promised in your word, and you said that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Now, I'm telling you, my prayer took on a different attitude. took on a different focus, took on a different intensity with regard to this. Now it wasn't something that had just been a nuisance. Now we're talking about, you know, going under the knife. We're talking about having something taken out. You know, this was way more serious than what I had thought up to this point. And so as a result, I got serious with my believing and with my trust and with my faith. And so as I prayed, I said, Father, I just thank you that you have healed me in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to trust you for that in Jesus' name. And left it at that, but stayed focused on the word concerning healing. And as a result of that, that was the last time that I ever had another pain. That since that time, I've never struggled with it. I've never had another problem. I've never had the least symptom that there's anything wrong. God has completely healed my gallbladder. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. There was another young couple at the church that she came to us, and they had already had a couple of children, but wanted a third child, and that child and they were having trouble. She was having trouble getting pregnant, had miscarried a couple of times, and so came and wanted us to pray with her. And so we did. Prayed with her, and Selena, who is the pastor's wife up there at our North Campus, began to even speak a word into her. And I knew, man, it was God, that this time she was going to get pregnant. Everything was going to work out great. And so she did. She got pregnant within just a couple of weeks of that. And about 12 weeks into the pregnancy, if I remember correctly, I got a call from a friend that said, I don't know if you've heard or not, but last night so-and-so lost the baby. And I'm like, what? Like, for me personally, and this just happened a few years ago, for me personally, I was like, are you serious? What? How could this be? Because I knew what God had said concerning this child and concerning her getting pregnant. And so I called, and then now what do you have to, as a pastor, now I have to call and console and to comfort. And so I called the husband. I said, I heard, you know, that you lost the baby. He said, yeah, she passed it in tissue last night. And I said, well, man, I said, just know that me and Jennifer were with you. We're praying with you. I don't know how, but I'm just believing that, you know, and I just trust, I'm just declaring that there will be victory that comes out of this. And I said, and we'd love to come over, spend some time with you when you're ready for us to. He said, well, thank you. I'll let you know. I hung up the phone, and the Spirit of God said, the baby is not dead. I said, what? I mean, this, you know, that made no sense. Like, I wouldn't think that up on my own. That made no sense in my mind. I said, because number one, she's miscarried a number of times, so she knows what that looks like. And he said, no, he said, the baby's not dead. He said, I want you to pray and to speak life to it. I said, okay, I'll do that. Because I know what God says. And so I just right there, I said, in the name of Jesus, I said, this child will live and not die. This child will live and not die. And anything that was wrong with the pregnancy, anything that was wrong with this is going to be fixed right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that everything's going to go perfect. And you know, I have to be honest with you, I'm just doing it by faith because the Spirit of God said to do it, even though the report is that she had miscarried. But I did it. I didn't just question it. I just went for it. We went over that afternoon, spent some time with her. And just in that conversation, I said, listen, as I was praying today, now I didn't tell her about I didn't have enough boldness to say, God says that the baby hasn't died. You know, I just didn't have that because my next thought was, man, if I've missed it, that's going to be double devastating, you know. And so I was trying to figure out a way of encouraging them without totally creating a situation where maybe I had been wrong. And so I just told her, I said, listen, I said, as I was praying today, I just don't believe that this thing is final yet. I said it that way. I said, there's not a finality to this thing. I said, so I don't know what all that means, but just keep trusting and believing God. Next day, sorry, I get emotional thinking about it. She went to the doctor. Doctor did, you know, ultrasound, all of that. And she said, well, there's the baby. Heartbeat just as strong as ever. Everything is perfect. I have no explanation for what the tissue was that you passed, for what that was. No explanation, but everything's perfect. Praise God. Praise God. And so, and they had their beautiful baby girl. And God did multiple miracles in that process, things that they would believe in God for. An amazing, amazing testimony. Amen. And to watch that happen. Amen. That same Jesus is here tonight. Yeah. He's the healer. He's the one that will set you free. He's the one that took your curse, that took your penalty, that took your judgment. He's the one that took it all so that you wouldn't have to labor and live under guilt, shame, condemnation, and under the debilitating problems with disease and sickness and whatever it is that you've dealt with in your life. Jesus said, I'm taking not just the sickness, but I'm taking the root of that sickness completely away. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you that you are the healer. Lord, you said in Psalm 107, verse 20, you said that you sent your word and healed us. Guys, I want you to see here as we move into just a moment of ministry, I want you to see right now how connected to forgiveness your healing is. Psalm 103, verse 1, let's pull that up on the screen. Psalm 103, verse 1 says this. Says, bless the Lord, as they pull it up, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And then look at the next verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then it says this, forget not all His benefits. And then He starts telling us what those are. Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, there's the root, and who heals what? All your diseases. The next verse even goes further and says, He redeems your life from destruction. Let me say that again. He redeems your life from destruction. And sickness and disease is sent to come and to try to destroy your life. And Jesus came to redeem it. Dan's going to share a testimony real quick, and then we're going to dismiss.
I just want to share, this just really hit me a while ago when he talked about miscarriages. I don't know if this was for somebody, but Sharice and I miscarried our first child. I knew his name. I knew what it was. So I really believe if you're here and you've had a miscarry, you can have redemption for that. Mm. There's restoration for that. We didn't understand what we understand now then. This was 17 years ago. But we came to church right after we lost our child. And one of the people came up to us and said, Brother Dan, God's going to give you double for your trouble. Now, we didn't understand what that person was talking about at the time. But a month and a half later, we were pregnant with twins. We didn't take fertility. Twins didn't run in our family. God gave us twins. He said, not only are twins, not only are these children going to be double blessed, but they're going to be better. They're going to be blessed in quality, not just quantity, but quality. Not God's put a calling on their life to go to nations. So God blessed us with the twin girls that we have. You guys have met Kayla and Bethany, both just sweet servants, you know. And then after that, God gave us two more. So God just continued to bless us on top of that.
I just wanted to say that when I went to my first appointment with the twins, I didn't know I was having twins. The doctor didn't know I was having twins. They told me this baby looks just like your first baby. Mm-hmm. It looks like there's going to be some problems. Just, you know, prepare yourself because you might miscarry this baby. You know, they just gave me doom and gloom like you talked about. And they said everything looks bad. And I went back to my office where I worked. And I just stood and faced the window, and I declared the word of the Lord over that baby. I thought it was just one.
Yeah.
Over that baby would live and not die. And
Amen.
They would declare the works of the Lord. And I just proclaimed, and I went out and bought my first maternity outfit that day.
Yeah.
And stood in faith. I was not going to let the enemy rob another child from my life.
Amen.
And then later on, when I went to my five-month appointment, I found out I would have twins. So not only did he bless me, but he doubly blessed me. He wants to bless us with abundance.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's amazing. My dad prayed for somebody one time that the wife could not have children. And so he prayed. She started having children. Man, boom, boom, boom. And then so then years later, the guy came and said, is there a way, can we pray that he turns this off? So, I mean, you know, God, when he does it right. Amen.